And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Mexa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. It's Pete Gray here. It's rock god Rick Packer here, too. And Mike Shane from Hub SeaWorld Research Institute. What a great show. We're just learning so much about the great work that they do at Hubs.
I love it, man. So much cool information on, you know, like, and then we just, like, I feel like we barely scratched the surface. And, yeah, this is really cool. And so stoked to have Mike Shane in here kind of talking all things fishing with us today. It's going to be a great show and a great second hour if you want to join us. Phones have been absolutely packed solid as they are again right now. But you keep trying. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to get through in the second hour. Two ways, again, you can do it, 858-457-1090. That's our local number again, 858-457-1090, or call us in that toll-free line. That one's 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. Not only are we talking so much cool information with Hubs, talking all this great information about sea bass and fishing, just two killer prizes. Again, if you didn't hear at the beginning of the show, two great prizes given away at the end of the show today. First of which, a brand new pair of Maui Jim sunglasses. This one is the Kanoa Coast, a great pair of Maui Jims. It has a matte tortoise frame. The lens is that great HCL bronze. The lens material is that super thin glass, providing the absolute crispest optics available and 20 to 32% thinner and lighter than standard glass while still offering that great scratch and solvent resistance. So a great pair of Maui Jims given away. In addition to that, a really cool prize. It's going to be a full tour of the Carlsbad Hatchery facility, including lunch with Mike right here. He's going to show you the whole deal about all the fish in the hatchery program and what an awesome opportunity that is. Again, a tour for a group of four with lunch with Mike. Just a great, great prize. Both of those are given away at the end of the show today.
What a great opportunity to see the great work that you guys are doing. And Mike, we mentioned while we were talking to Scott about funding. How is the program funded? How do you fund all these expensive projects?
Yeah. So the main funding that we had for the White Sea Bass program, as I mentioned earlier, we are contractors of the Department of Fish and Wildlife and have been for the 30 years we've been operating this program. That revenue is generated from sport fishing license sales. If you fish in the waters south of Point Conception, you have to buy the Ocean Enhancement Stamp. That is currently, $5 and some change now, and that goes to the department. They manage those funds to operate this program, and we get money from the department for that. Other research, and we've brought in over the years a lot of money of our own through writing grants and contracts to do this additional research to help us learn and advance the program. So all the nutritional studies that we've talked about, I mean, funding from the U.S. Soybean Association, funding from Sea Grant that we've got to do various experiments, all that information that we learn from those, maybe it's updating our systems, but that gets all applied back to the sea bass program to help us advance that as well, too. So money for our infrastructure has come from the city of Carlsbad to do various things, too. So that's kind of where the funding comes from. The department certainly has been the majority of the funding for that to help us, get the fish out the door. It's been a little challenging the last few years, against with the funding cuts that the department has put on the program. So we're challenged to keep staff in place to get fish out the door. So we're managing it the best we can with regards to that, which unfortunately means less fish going back into the ocean because, you know, we can only do so much, and if they're going to cut us back, we at some point have to make tough decisions ourselves, and it can only do so much with what we've got. So.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and funding from recreational anglers like ourselves, they can always make a donation, right?
Yes, I mean, as a nonprofit organization, certainly we have we have a development committee, that are in charge of that, and you can always go to our website, hswri.org, and look at there and contribute that way. You certainly call us and come in, however, but yes, it's all tax deductible.
cool, cool. Well, let's go live on the water right now. Captain Tim Ekstrom's aboard the Let's Talk Hookup Trip on the Royal Star. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going the right direction. Have been here. It's windy as all get out with a nice big sea runner, but we're going down with it. We're it's like being rocked gently in a cradle here. And even better, we're heading down with a really nice catch of that beautiful grade of tuna. We opted to start the trip there at what I've dubbed over the last few years as Clarion Norris, and it worked out. Boy, there's some beautiful fish there. The school size grade, if you call it school grade, is 60 to 90 pounds with a pretty good smattering of 100-pounders mixed in. We had fish up to 183, 165, 150. It's almost hard to believe how much fish is at that island still. And I mean, it's beautiful. It's 69-degree water. It might as well be the summer out there. We had four just great days of fishing, pretty much got exactly what we wanted out of it and then some, and then took off for Point South. We've still got, I think we got another 6 days of fishing here to go, or 5 days of fishing after this day of travel here today. We're planning on focusing on the Wahoo on our way down and then trying for big ones for a couple, 3 days down there in the lower banks. Talk about the picture perfect. You know, Ricky, you and I were talking about it before we left. It's 12. On day 12, we drop off in the Cape. I think we're going to fish 11 out of the 12 days here.
Unbelievable, man. And just so cool to – I know you toiled with, decisions, and then once again, man, you've just – this Let's Talk Hookup Trip has been so successful over the years, and you guys have become so good at you got to play the hand that you're dealt, and just every year you guys make these fantastic moves, and yet again deciding to go what is a somewhat untraditional route and starting at Guadalupe, and here you are 4 days later with hatches full of big giant fish, and got to with the way that the weather hit you and you were fishing in calm grounds, and just so cool to see yet another very successful voyage, and you're not even halfway through it.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, too, is a big grade of fish at Guadalupe there, man. That's like up to 180. I mean, and we posted one that Brandon Bono from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, who's our representative on the trip for Let's Talk Hookup on this trip. What was it? 166. We posted that on our Facebook, Instagram this week. What an amazing fish to start the trip, right,
yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, that was right out of the gates. I think he got that one the first afternoon, if I remember right. It's funny. It feels like we've been out here a long time already, and we're only halfway through, like you said. This is a great example of just how versatile this fishing is. You guys, just think about it over the years, how many different versions of this trip we've been on, Ricky.
Exactly.
Between kicking the daylights out of the Wahoo on the way down, getting fish at Hurricane Bank, getting fish on the inside, getting fish on the beach. Now this year, up to starting our trip up at Guadalupe because that was such a viable option. It's just such a perfect example of you never know. You never know as a long-range angler. We talk about it all the time. You could go on the same trip, same dates, same time of the year, 10 years in a row, and every single one would be different. It's one of the reasons why so many anglers choose to come back year after year, because it's never the same. You just never know what you're going to get.
Well said.
Cool. And that Guadalupe tuna eats so well. I can't imagine it's living quite well down in the RSW, the Royal Star. Sounds like a great trip, Tim, and you got plenty of time left. Hopefully you'll give us an update next Saturday when you're coming back, and tell us you really whacked the Wahoo. That's going to be quite an adventure for those guys on the trip.
Yeah, that's the next plan. Spend a few days doing that, and then we're gonna have it 3 full days to work on those big fish down there in the lower banks. Just to end on an admin note, guys, we still have this next trip that comes up. It departs on the 12th of December. It's a 7-day that's scheduled to go to Guadalupe, and we still have a few spots on that. And then, of course, I want to close with a reminder to everybody: we still have the Mazatlan trips coming up there in January. The Let's Talk Hook Up Mazatlan trips, which we're looking forward to. Little birds are telling me that there's some pretty good sign of fish starting to show down there.
Yeah, I know the cover of Western Outdoor News is a big 300-pounder that came down from that zone, and those trips are primed to get to take advantage of that big fishing. We don't need to say it because we've gone over it so many times, but what an opportunity to be in that zone on a boat like the Royal Star with the the bait capacity, the crew, that boat is designed to catch big fish in that area, and what a great opportunity it's going to be for. We can't wait.
Unbelievable. And Tim, to add, those trips are a definite go. I mean, I know that there's still spots available, but they're going, right?
We're going.
Yeah.
We're going to make the most of it. Hell yeah. We're going to see what we come up with, and you know, we got to get out there and pound the pavement, if you will. I feel good about it. I feel good about the opportunities down there. So we shall see. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to fish for the famed Rod. Ricky, rumor has it that he's going to make one of those trips.
Yes,
indeed. Can't wait, buddy. Yeah, can't
trip
wait,
number
Tim.
Two, yeah, for sure. Hey, Tim, if somebody wants some more information on going fishing down on the Royal Star, 4-day fly down, fly back Mazatlan, the 7-day Guadalupe trip coming up next. How do we get a hold of you? How do we book a trip?
Give us a jingle, 619-224-4764. Follow us online, either the daily reports, or you can book online, RoyalStarSportFishing.com. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll call you next week with a final trip report. Have a good show.
Miss Thanks. You on this one, Tim. Thanks for taking such good care of the boys.
All right, appreciate that call this morning. Dwayne from San Diego Anglers. What's up, Dwayne?
You know, this is one of those shows I wish it was 3 hours long. You know, Mike's so full of great information, I could just listen to him all day long.
Hi, Dwayne. Fantastic.
Great.
The announcement everybody's been waiting for is the entry forms for the Bay Bass Tournament. I'll be picking them up from the printer in the morning, and I'll be passing them out to all the local San Diego Tackle shops here, and that should be uploaded on our website, sandiegoanglers.com, under the tournament tab. So by tomorrow evening, everybody has been clamoring to get an entry form for the Bay Bass Tournament, which is on Saturday, February the 2nd. Your wishes will be granted.
Oh,
that's
fantastic,
great.
Dwayne. And I might add, too, that any word from the port of the actual opening date of, have they set an opening date for the launch ramp?
Yes, we went down to the launch ramp yesterday, Mike Cazelli and I, just to kind of check it out, make sure it's going to be done, and it'll be done. They told us soft opening on December the 17th. It should be open to private boaters on the 17th. They don't have a whole lot of stuff to do left before they open it up.
That was my prediction. I said mid-December. Yeah. They said December 1st. I said, no way that's happening.
No way.
Obviously
no
that
way.
Didn't happen for sure. So so soft opening December 17th, which gives it plenty of time to get through before the February 2nd Bay Bass Tournament.
Yes, yes. Right. So I'll be talking to you guys in a couple of weeks. We're taking off to El Salto this week, the big gang on this annual trek. So I'll call you guys in a couple of weeks.
I know. Keep tabs on Dart there. I know Bob Fletcher's going with his son Rob, and that should be a good old time.
It'll be a great time. So we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks
buddy.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, bye.
All right. Well, the phones are packed. Let's jump right into them. This time we're going to talk to Hills, Connoisseur Ventura, this morning. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
This is a really exciting. It's a really exciting show. I had one of the funnest opportunities related to fish when I got to help release some sea bass at Channel Islands Harbor. Frank Sullivan, the local CCA guy, and Alan Maddox invited me down there, and there were two pens, and they're a fine mesh net. And we needed to unhang the net to release them and also to clean the net because it's completely, you know, encrusted with seaweed and everything. The pellet dispensers, one of them was dispensing more pellets than the other. So one pen, the fish are like an inch longer. They're like 9 inches, you know, instead of the like eight inches. So it was so cool because we dropped the net on three sides and, you know, let it hang on one side. Some of the fish just stayed swimming in a circle and some of them formed like wolf packs. And the harbor, Channel Islands is rich, you know, with bait and stuff. There were all this micro anchovy in there and these wolf packs were going up and down the dock. After we were done, we were watching them and some of these sea bass were gnarly, man. They were, you know, corralling and ambushing these little micro anchovies. It was so cool. But their buddies were still swimming in the circle over there. I'm like, man, you guys better get with it. But anyways, it was such a great opportunity.
How cool that fish could go from living on pellets its whole life to just you drop the net and instantly it's trying to corral beta. That's just so cool.
That's good news, right, Mike?
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, one of the benefits of putting them in those grow out pens. I mean, they get it. They sense the smell and they're ready to go. I've seen that at other pens as well, too, where they're recent release and they're hanging in the harbor and they're just up against the rocks and you see them chasing.
They're hungry.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, Hales,
great
thanks
story,
for sharing
Hales.
For that. And if somebody wants to volunteer to at one of these grow-out pens, they can contact CCA, Wayne, and the guys there and say, hey, I want to help work at these grow-out pens. They can do that, right?
Yeah, that is probably the easiest way as opposed to trying to figure out who's managing what site. You know, CCA is well in tune with who's overseeing that and can put them in direct contact with the person there and get them set up. That would be great.
Go to the CCA website for CCA California website and contact the guys and they'll hook you up.
Yeah.
Sounds
definitely
good.
Thanks, Hills. Appreciate the call this morning.
All right. With that, it's time to find out what's going on. It's time for our fishdope.com report with the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. And today, the Catch Report sponsored by the pros at Fisherman's Processing. Hey, the Fish Pros, not only do they offer the best processing for your trip, for your fish, when your trip returns to the San Diego Landings, now with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, and their famous tuna burgers at their convenient Liberty Station location. Fish Pros have also become famous for their line of smoked spices, rubs, salts, as well as smoked cheese. Pick up some at their Liberty Station location or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Let's talk to your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, Rick, Pete, Mike.
Hey.
Great show this morning. Hey, can you guys say wind?
There is
some wind.
Windy.
Oh, my goodness. I came back just in time to watch the wind blow. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah, you leave that warm, tropical sunshine in Cabo, and you come back to here, huh?
Oh, my goodness. But I'm leaving again Tuesday morning, so I'll be back in paradise. But, hey, you know, if this wind ever stops blowing, I believe in my heart that bluefin's going to bounce right back because it's not a water temperature type of fish. It's a bait fish. And as long as there's bait out there on those outer banks, I don't think that fish is going to go anywhere. And like we were saying a couple weeks ago when Greg was in there, you know, the biggest problem we have every year this time of year is the fish are still there, but we run out of people to go catch them. So don't let this be that year, guys. As soon as we get a little break in the window, weather window. I know there's a bunch of the San Diego boats that are still looking to go outside there as soon as the weather breaks. So make sure you go out there and check it out. Go get a Christmas bluefin or go down there with Ryan or one of the other boats down there and go fish that yellowtail down below at the islands. I don't think that stuff's going to go anywhere either as soon as this wind stops blowing. There's so much fish around. And like Brian was saying, the halibut bite at Dana Point was good until the wind started blowing. I don't see that leaving. So make sure you guys keep fishing right through Christmas, because you're going to see some phenomenal fishing, and the loads are going to be super light, and this is the time of year we really like. And then I have a question for Mike.
Go yes. for it.
I hope you guys are working on this. I noticed the last couple of years, the California sea lion population has kind of declined, and I'm hoping that you're working to rebuild that sea lion, because there's hardly any of them out there anymore.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're trying. No, we do have a scientist at work that you know, his specialty, as I mentioned earlier, under the sort of the wildlife populations, has been studying, you know, seals and sea lions and elephant seals, et cetera, for, you know, over 40 years now. So, you know, he's seen population trends and he's working with them. You know, we're also working to understand their health and that sort of stuff. And are there ways that we can possibly introduce or reduce their impacts through their reproductive capacity, and that is providing, you know, certain you know, ways to help reduce that potentially.
Do you think that the sea lions are the overabundance of sea lions are reducing the population of that of a hatchery fish that are released? You think that their the predation on that is high, or are they just that's not a factor?
Really? Well, you know, we know they eat. I mean, based on my telemetry work that I talked about earlier today, they do prey on our sea bass. The pingers that we put in there in the fish, actually, we learned from our stuff is that they could possibly hear them, not so much the sea lions, but maybe the harbor seals. So we're basically implanting dinner bells in our fish and other scientists. So, that's probably not a good thing. But so we've done some additional follow-on studies to understand the acoustic properties of those type of transmitters. So, you know, so do they prey on our fish? You know, if they have the opportunity, yeah, you hope our fish learn about what a predator is. I mean, when they're in these cages in the harbors, you know, sea lions are probably swimming around them, and so they do get a feel for that, hopefully. And you hope they it would be avoiding them, at least understanding you got something big coming after you. You better skedaddle out
of
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear you loud and clear, Mike. Yeah, let's get rid of them all. I totally agree.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, enjoy your time up in real paradise here in Southern California, and enjoy your time down in Cabo San Lucas. And in the meantime, hook up now is the code, lowercase, no space, to save $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. What a great gift for somebody to give them. 365 days of great information from the guys at Fish Dope. And how do we find you, Dave?
Go look at my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. We just added a bunch of new videos. Check it out. I'm trying to stay as current as I can. We're putting together some rockfish stuff for you guys for the next couple weeks before that gets closed up. So check out the website at yoursaltwaterguide.com, and I will talk to you guys next Sunday.
All right, Dave. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Safe travels. And the phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it, buddy. How about we talk to Doug, who's calling us from Montebello this morning. Good morning, Doug. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I got two questions now. Which fish is the hardest one for you to do a study on? And two, these fish that are in captivity, what happens to you? What do you do with them when they die? Should they die in your captivity?
Mike's on it. So the first question was, again, can you repeat that one?
How hard is to study a certain fish? Which is the hardest one for you to study?
Well, it just depends on the type of species. I mean, it's obviously easier to study fish that don't move around as much because you can recover them if you're trying to, depending on whatever tag type you're using. The kelp bass, for example, the bass that you've had Lyle here before talking about that.
Right.
I mean, those fish, I don't think, move around as much, so you're able to get tag recoveries, unlike the sea bass, which, you know, are for our fish may move around or they're preyed upon. But, we have seen from telemetry studies from sea bass, you know, they move quite a bit. I mean, it depends on the tag type, too. So, for example, the bluefin tuna and the tuna, large pelagics, you know, they have these large tags that actually transmit to satellite tags. And so, fortunately for our program, the sea bass is a little bit too small, and the technology hasn't gotten that small enough to be able to just put them out there and get them. So, you know, the tag types, it just depends on the fish and their movements and the technology. So you got to think about all those variables before you put a study together. With regards to fish in the hatchery when there's mortality, especially for our brood stock, I mean, we do cycle through those fish. And we actually, for all our brood stock, we do put a chip in them to identify them, like you would put in your cats and dogs. And those chips are actually glass encapsulated. So, you know, they've been in the hatchery for a long time. You know, we basically end up either euthanizing them, or if they die of natural causes, whatever, we do necropsies on them. So those fish will not be released, obviously, and they're euthanized for scientific purposes so we can investigate them, see what their health was. Yes, we've had that, say, a broodstock in captivity for 20 years. I mean, what, how's that fish look? How's its health? Whatever. Okay. So,
rotate the fish stocks, too.
Yeah,
that's
part of our management plan, genetics management plans, to be able to rotate. Fortunately, funding has made that a little bit of a challenge for us, but with the support from the CCA and others, I mean, we hope to get to a good spot, you know, this year with the rebuilding of our pens out of Catalina, to be able to catch broodstock, resupply, because two years ago, we actually reduced our older fish in there, and they weren't, internally when you did the necropsies, weren't as healthy. I mean, just from the exposure being in the systems for a long time. We've reduced our population, so we're trying to keep fish younger fish, less than 20 years age in there. And so we need more, since we reduced our broodstock population, we need more young fish to come in and take the charge in our tanks. And so that's what we're trying to do this year.
What is the success rate when you catch a wild fish and put it into the broodstock? What's the success rate? Obviously, some are going to die.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's fairly high. I mean, we put in place guidelines for the fishermen that are helping us to collect them. For example, using knotless nets, trying to get the fish in faster instead of playing it. That's all helps to reduce the stress. Sea bass in particular, trying to fish in a little bit shallow waters. Those fish, I think, as part of the angling, bringing them to the boat, they obviously are stressed a little bit, and so they can inflate their swim bladder through the increased blood flow as they're fighting. And so that can, they're buoyant and they have challenges floating. But once you get them into deeper water, back into a holding pen where they can get down 20 feet, or so, they'll do well. Otherwise, they'll just float in the holding tanks. But success is pretty high. I mean, we try to, use circle hooks as opposed to J-type hooks or whatever to get them in the mouth. If they swallow the hook, that presents challenges. So, yes, we do lose fish, one or two in there. And if you're handling them, properly, because there's very little that we can do to treat them or chemicals because they are food fish, antibiotics, et cetera, that we can use. So we basically start trying to be successful right from the beginning with trying to catch them and the techniques that we use, handling them in slings, rubber slings and stuff. And then the fishermen out there have helped us recently, with collecting either halibut as well, too, and they see the process, and so they get appreciation for what it takes to bring a fish back alive and healthy.
Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right, how about we jump right back into him? This time we talk to Jim. He's calling us from National City this morning. Hi, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, morning, guys. Great show. Previous caller kind of took my question. It was on the release part. I'm sure you have to go to certain areas where you release your stock. And you talked a little bit about how you avoid trying to make a chum line for just other game fish or for sea lions,
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's quite a challenge. But anyway, that was kind of my question. And also, real quick, the facility up in Carlsbad, do you guys still have a facility there by the water conversion plant, the plant that takes the salt water and makes it into fresh water? Are you guys still up in that area?
Yes, that's where the hatchery is, in Agua Hedionda Lagoon, the desal plant, which is across the way, and the power generation station, that they're still there. I think the power generation part is going to be changing as they've now built land-based systems, so they're going to be closing the seawater flow-through plant part of it closed, and the desal plant is working to, again, find new ways to bring seawater as they're required with their permits into their plant. But so we're still there, have good relationships, again, with both NRG and Poseidon, who's the seawater desal guys. So they're helping us as well. They know that we're a nonprofit and have offered to help us when needed. With regards to releasing the fish and not putting out chum lines, we do are proactive about how we release our fish from all these grow-out sites. And traditionally, yes, we have seen challenges, releasing fish during the day, and you get birds, and when the birds start coming, that just attracts more predators, et cetera. So, and what we've learned from our telemetry work, as I mentioned earlier, about the fish leaving the bay at night on an outgoing tide, we try to plan our releases now, even from the grow-out sites, doing them late afternoon, early evening, and trying to look for when the tide is going out, because I think, these fish need to get out of the bays. I mean, there's probably more predation than we originally thought happening in these bays, especially during the winter months. We have a large migratory bird population here, especially underwater foragers, that, again, releasing fish during these winter months is not ideal. And we've moved away from, again, releasing fish in the winter months, because our models have shown that releases during the winter months have the lowest survivorship. And so, again, adaptively manage our program while we're not releasing them here during the months of December, January, and February. And it all comes down to giving you, the fishermen, the most bang for your buck. I mean, you guys are paying for this program. We want to make it successful. And if we're releasing fish during this time of year, it's just throwing your money down the drain. So we're trying to make you guys, get more bang for your buck.
Very good. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming around, including a big block of your phone calls and a very busy morning. Lots more to come. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests, as well as an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We now have a direct flight departing through the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge with first-class accommodations and meals. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is Doug Kern. Nothing could be better for that saltwater angler on your list than a gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad A, Therese, Stella, Tranx, Terramar, Colt Sniper, Torium, Tiagra, Flatfall, and much more from Shimano. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out the perfect gift. Check out our huge selection at saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew is always looking for ways to improve your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trip from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. We are proud to say Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation, offering half-day trips on the Dolphin, and now, for the first time in the long history of Fisherman's Landing, we have three-quarter day open party trips on the Liberty. We built the Liberty specifically to offer a better experience. Run by veteran captain Taro Takeuchi, the 85-foot Liberty is the first open party three-quarter day boat to offer bunks for your comfort. She also has huge bait capacity and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big galley and two interior heads with showers. Our open party trips from half day, three-quarter day, or 1 to 3 day trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
There is an undisclosed paradise waiting for you in your own backyard. It's the La Misión Hotel in beautiful Loreto, Baja California. Experience one of the few towns that has truly kept the spirit of old Baja, combined with the luxury of a five-star hotel. Old Mission traditions, authentic lifestyle, and a wealth of Mexican culture still lives at the La Misión Hotel. Situated on the water and just steps from the harbor, take advantage of the fantastic fishing and natural beauty of the Sea of Cortez and the islands of Loreto. Loreto has long been known as the Dorado capital of the world, but huge tuna, wahoo, marlin, yellowtail, and pargo are abundant too. La Misión Hotel can set up affordable fishing trips, dive packages, and family fun adventures to enjoy the rich natural abundance of Loreto. La Misión also has a fantastic spa. Fine dining at Los Olivos restaurant and the famous pizza grill will amaze and stimulate your palate. Relax, fish, and enjoy the beauty and adventure of Loreto at the La Misión Hotel. Fishing and other very affordable packages are available. Once you go, you're hooked. Check LaMisiónLoreto.com for details. La Misión, the beauty and fun of Loreto is waiting for you.
XSRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, let's talk for a minute, Mike, about aquaculture. And all the, this is a big program that you guys are venturing into, and it's kind of a future of possible food sources for America and the world, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we've kind of cut our teeth on the white sea bass program and learned about that, but we're, you know, other facets of our aquaculture program do include, you know, trying to promote or try to permit the first offshore aquaculture grow operation here in Southern California and off San Diego. And so seafood, I mean, we all love to eat seafood, and we don't eat enough of it, according to what doctors are telling us here in the United States, and we're only eating half of what we should eat. But the United States, we import, of the seafood that we eat in this country, 91%. I mean, that's a huge, that cost us about $16 billion, with a B, trade deficit, and that's only the second behind the importation of oil that we bring in as seafood. And so to reduce, and we're bringing in from all these other countries. These other countries, their middle class is getting wealthier. It's going to get more expensive to bring this seafood in. 50% of the seafood that's consumed worldwide right now already comes from aquaculture. So the tide has turned. You know, we've overfished the oceans. We haven't landed more fish out of the ocean since the late 1980s, yet we keep throwing bigger boats, bigger nets, et cetera, from it. So a couple years ago, we actually produced more fish through aquaculture than we caught out of the world's oceans. So
the tide
has turned, and if we're going to be eating, you know, we know the healthful benefits of eating seafood, we need to start growing it here at home. So on the national or federal level, I mean, they're NOAA and the National Ocean Services, these others have started to promote this and trying to help organizations like ours in particular, trying to walk a permit through who's going to be responsible. So we are trying to permit something off the coast of San Diego, and it would be the first one as a demonstration project. Originally it would go to a commercial sort of level, but again, what we're trying to do is as who we are as a research organization, you know, who better to start this, and we can learn from it. We're already working with modelers, and it's shown that this offshore aquaculture can be done sustainably and responsibly.
And what would you grow?
So we would grow the primary species. It would be yellowtail. So,
wow.
So yellowtail, you know, if you eat sushi, it's called hamachi. And all the hamachi you get worldwide comes from cultured yellowtail. There's no wild capture fisheries. Japan, Australia is big for it. Yeah, and Mexico is starting to get into it.
So why not grow our own? Because we have the resources.
Like exactly. If it's all coming from farm-raised fish that we're paying somebody else for, why would we not be doing it?
In addition, doing it here at home, you know, we have, you know, regulations in place of what you can put in their diets and their food, that water quality. So, you know, let alone reducing the carbon footprint from a fish that's flown halfway around the world to come here for us to food, to eat. I mean, we already have those set in place. So it would be, you know, much healthier, much better choice. And so it's just a matter of, you know, getting started and getting the permits in place.
Are we a couple of years away from that?
Yeah, realistically, probably still, yes. Yeah. I mean, there are some operations occurring right now, like off of L.A., the Catalina Sea, I can't know what they call it, Catalina Sea Ranch, that's doing, you know, mussels out there on strings. And so they're trying to do it commercially. But with regards to fish, I mean, the only really culture, I mean, we only grow about 2.5% of the fish that we consume in this country from aquaculture. Most of that's salmon done in the Pacific Northwest or in Maine. And then you've got some, you know, tilapia and other things growing out. But, yeah, I mean, 91% of our seafood, I mean, we need to start, you know, thinking other ways now. And if we're not catching more fish, it may be more of a challenge for a commercial fisherman to support their livelihood. This is an option for them to become farmers, you know, and growing fish.
So. Yeah, good for you guys.
That's cool.
All right, let's jump back on those jam-packed phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about we talk to Dave? He's calling from Riverside this morning. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Good morning, Dave.
Oh, man, I hope Dave comes back. You hung on for way too long to have missed that. Well, hopefully, Dave, you're able to give us a ring back. In the meantime, let's jump back into the phone. Another patient caller, Kenny from Hawaiian Gardens on the line. Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, morning, gentlemen. I had a question and a comment. Last month, me and my wife were down in Ensenada, took her drive down towards the blowhole there, and there was a bunch of pens right off the shore there, you know, about 8 or 10 of them. Just curious if you're familiar with what those pens were.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, along the shoreline there, if you're driving over, I mean, there are those, as I mentioned earlier, more of the sort of tuna ranching where they actually go out and, you know, catch small young of the year tuna and then bring them back and fatten them over there. There is, although, an operation down in Ensenada. They built a small hatchery like, you know, we have here in Carlsbad where they can actually broodstock in captivity for striped bass and actually are growing striped bass over in pens out at Todos Santos.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Very good. Kenny, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
How about Harry in Chula Vista up next on Let's Talk Hookup? Hi, Harry. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to know how many aquaculture facilities there are in California, and I'd also like you to comment on the seismic surveys that will be conducted on the Atlantic side for oil drilling, and also about the introduction of otters off our coastline, like they're contemplating up in Oregon. And also, if you could comment about the grunion population, how its health is. And I know they're only hanging like within 60 feet of water off our coast. If you could comment on those things, I'd appreciate it.
Just what we need, another hungry predator,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's a lot there, Harry, but hopefully I can answer some of these quickly. You know, how many aquaculture associations? There's quite a bit. I don't have the number off the top of my head. There is a California Aquaculture Association, so not CCA, but CAA. You can certainly go to their website and look them up, but there's a lot going on. Most of it is with bivalves, et cetera, very little bit with fish. With regards to seismic surveys on the East Coast, I'm not familiar with any of that, so I have no can really answer anything on how that's going. I know there's some scientists here at Scripps that we've worked with and collaborated. They're doing seismic surveys along our coast, looking for new faults, et cetera. That's Dr. Neil Driscoll and others. With regards to sea otters, I mean, sea otters were extirpated. I mean, they were here years ago in the 1800s, but they've been reduced, and I know they've eliminated. I mean, I know they're trying to reintroduce them, and I thought years ago they reintroduced them off to the Channel Islands, but they found out some of them moved north. So, I mean, it's just part of the natural ecosystem, and I think
keep them up there.
Yeah. Actually, a couple of years ago, when we were out doing some telemetry work, I came across a sea otter, which I couldn't believe when I saw it, off of Torrey Pines.
Really?
Yeah, Del Mar. Yeah, fortunately, I have my big camera and lens with me, but I forgot a memory card, so it was a rookie mistake.
No.
But I did get a picture on my phone, and, you know, we got close enough to him, and when I first saw it, I just like, what?
What? See that?
You know, and so, like, it was a great time of day, late afternoon, good lighting on him, et cetera. So. So
one of those photo mistakes.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah. And then with regards to the grunion population, I don't particularly study the grunion. I know there's a woman that's studying up off Malibu, and they're doing annual surveys, et cetera. So, you know, you could probably find her website out of I think she's out of Pepperdine, and she probably has that information there and doing their surveys and how populations are doing. She's been doing it for quite a while. So
yeah. Excellent. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Before we run out of time, I want to talk about sea bass in the classroom. This is one of the really great things that Hub SeaWorld Research Institute does for kids.
Yes, as part of our, you know, education and outreach and trying to inspire the next generation of scientists, we have 11 schools here in Southern California. There's one in L.A., five in Orange County, and five in San Diego, where they have purpose-built systems in their classrooms to help them learn about aquaculture and responsibility to be sustainable and all that it takes for aquaculture and replenishment. So the program, you know, is a joint partnership between ourselves, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and Get Inspired. And it's supported through generous funds from San Diego Gas and Electric, from Southern California Edison, from Chevron, the Union Bank. So these students, you know, while they have this in their class, are getting to learn about the science, technology, engineering, and math that's applied when you're doing aquaculture, and it's something that they can't find in their textbooks at this age. And so we're giving them the option to look and consider this potentially as a job in the future. If we start to grow and do offshore aquaculture, I mean, the U.S. is the world's leader in aquaculture technology, yet we're exporting it to all these other countries. So, you know, can we build a better net pen to grow fish in? Can we build, I don't know, a better feeder? You know, one of the callers alluded to the feeder getting stuck. You know, can you, there's so many things with engineering that can be done, you know, with the math, you know, and the calcs, you know, these students are learning about, you know, and they're learning about collaboration, because some of the teachers actually bring in the math department. Hey, let's get these students to calculate and work with ours to figure out what the flow rate is through these systems. You know, they're obviously all these systems in their classrooms are closed systems, so they're learning about the nitrification process and how they can keep their fish healthy by keeping the water healthy. So they're testing water quality on a daily basis. So they're learning all this. I go up there a couple times to work with them. We anesthetize the fish. They get to measure and weigh them. So, you know, they've never realized that you could put a fish to sleep to be able to handle it. So that's a great experience. And I was just at the schools last week tagging them. So they get to tag their fish as well, just like we do in the larger program. And now here before Christmas and they go on their winter break, they're all going to be releasing their fish into the in their location. So now they become stewards of the environment. They become part of our larger program and then we'll load them up again in the springtime.
Wow, what a fantastic program.
What's the age of the students?
So it ranges. There's a middle school teacher that's up in Orange County. Most of them are high schools, and then there's one junior college also up in Orange County.
Wow, that is so cool.
What a great program.
You guys are awesome.
That's really cool.
It's just some amazing
things. You're hands-on
things.
Involved in this program.
You teach the students. Yeah, I'm the director for that. I coordinate it. I mean, the teachers do a lot of the teaching, obviously. I got so many things on my plate. I can't be there all the time. But it's just a phenomenal opportunity for these kids to learn this and apply this in their classrooms.
Backing up for just a second, you said the United States is the largest developer of aquaculture techniques.
Yeah, technology.
But we're exporting it to other countries.
Yeah, where all the countries
because we can't, because of the shortness of sight of the people that can't see the forest through the trees, our politicians, my personal feeling, that we can't get the permits to be able to do this aquaculture within our own waters. Is that kind of part of it?
Yes. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, but the tide is turning. You know, the feds have sort of gotten their marching orders and understand that, you know, we can't keep continuing to go down this route
of exporting it and importing it.
And so, otherwise, you know, a single parent's going to go to, you know, McDonald's and buy a 50-pound fish filet sandwich, $50 fish filet sandwich.
And this is the other thing. I mean, you look at the aquaculture, and how can this do any damage at all to our resource or what we do here in California?
Well, unfortunately, you know, there have been mistakes, as there has been with any agriculture operation. And so we've learned from those, and we know we can't put a pen in a shallow embayment and with a ton of fish in it and overload the system. I mean, Mother Nature has her limits. And so the models now are get them a little bit deeper water and obviously not overload your pens. And the technology for food diets, the pellets, those are getting better. So more of that's getting uptake and used by the fish. So that's all part of the technology that we're developing. And so putting these out in these areas and modeling it so the feds, you know, hey, a coastal manager, they want to provide a tool to coastal managers to say, hey, look, if someone wants to put a pen on your coastline, collect X, Y, and Z data and then tell them if this is a good spot. So they're putting tools together like this to help us be successful and properly put these. And if they're done properly, then, you know, we should have, it's sustainable and it's done responsibly.
Yeah, good for you guys. Keep it up. No doubt about it. One of the things that I want to mention is you talked earlier about the founders of Hub SeaWorld Research Institute and those the people, the founding fathers of SeaWorld and Milt Shedd.
Yes.
A big part of that. And we got to talk about Bill Shedd and all the things he's done and still doing for Hub SeaWorld Research Institute. This guy never stops giving to further our resources.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he's a man unto himself. I mean, he's just the incredible support that we've gotten from him over the years. He's currently the chairman of our board for Hub SeaWorld Research Institute. He's on the panel for the ORHAP, or the Ocean Resources Enhancement Program, for our White Sea Bass Replenishment Program. You know, he's helping bring in others, educated. He's kind of working with CCA as well, obviously, on their board.
He's the head of the board.
So, I mean, I don't know when he finds time to sleep. It's just, yes, he's a tremendous asset to our organization, and without him, I just don't know where we'd be.
Yeah, you know? He is an amazing person.
I was getting so frustrated when I heard, like, how cool that Sea Bass in the Class program is and how, like, how much good stuff Hubs is doing, and it frustrated me thinking, like, of all the negative press that is, you know, involved SeaWorld and things, and, you know, somebody writes a book or writes a documentary, and the whole world has this negative view on this organization that is does so much good, and one person in a social media world has one negative opinion, and then all this bad light gets cast on an organization that's doing good for education. I mean, it drives you crazy. Like, there's so much good that comes out of that, and I love the story about, you know, the lease that you guys have from SeaWorld and what you pay and what they do and how all the funds, you know, support Hubs. And
yeah, and it's unfortunately they're detractors. They're going to be detractors for anything, and we just got to keep putting out the positive message. And for aquaculture, you know, those positive messages, you know, the feds haven't been driving it, but they've turned around and are actually promoting more aquaculture and promoting the positive messages, so the detractors have sort of backed away, and we've learned, and now we've shown that we can do this responsibly, and So that, you know, that's changing, and hopefully, you know, it's just, it'll happen, and we'll just get by, and we're going to continue to talk about our organization, be better, more proactive at promoting the research that we do. I mean, a lot of people still aren't clear on who exactly, you know, we are as a nonprofit, and they think, oh, you know, you're SeaWorld, and we're helping with their animal care and that stuff, when we've got all these other program areas, our animal behavior, the bioacoustics, or sustainable seafood program. So there's a lot that we do, and hopefully here today will help to educate more people about our program.
About all the good things that you're doing for our future. Yes. Yeah, and you're getting better at it every day. That's the cool thing.
Yes, thank you, yes. Yeah.
30 years of moving in an up direction.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going to get that entire tour of the hatchery, a group of four with Lunch with Mike, and also that great pair of Maui Jims. There's more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Cast Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. For over 20 years, Cast Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips. Whether it's a fishing trip, a family vacation, or an adventure, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cast Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casttours.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner of the brand new pair of Maui Jim Canoa Coast glasses, that's going to Kevin in Pacific Beach. Kevin hung on all the way through to the end of the show, didn't quite make it on the air, but again, we're stoked that you hung in with us, Kevin. You're getting a brand new pair of Maui Jims. And now the tour of the Carlsbad facility, including Lunch with Mike, that's going to go to Armin in Long Beach. Congratulations. You are so stoked. That's going to be
indeed.
Awesome.
You and three of your friends, too.
That's really
family
cool.
Family members. And you're welcome to bring kids, too, if you want. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet.
So,
all right. Well, if somebody wants to help out and if somebody wants to help with all the good things that help SeaWorld Research Institute, how can we do that?
Checking out our website. That's the way it works. So HSWRI, that's short for Hub SeaWorld Research Institute, HSWRI.org. And you find the information there. There will be links, obviously, if you wanted to donate or learn more about all our programs.
Yeah, and I'm on your email list, too. So you can sign up for your email list and get all the information about all the current stuff that you do. Very important thing to do. Yep. So.
Follow us on Facebook. You can look for us there or on Twitter and go from there.
So. All right. Keep up the great work, Mike.
Great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. Thanks to Adam on the other side of the glass for all he does with us. Check out our app. All kinds of great stuff Adam's doing with the app. So if you haven't downloaded our app, it is so easy to use and so fun to use. You can listen live. You can listen to archives, listen to classic archives, find out what guests going on, and a lot more. That's the Let's Talk Hookup app. on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Google Play, it's free. So just download it today and get it on your smart device, and you'll be happy when you use it. And you'll be happy, too, next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Mike Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance will have all his secret spots and more and information on boat insurance and more for us next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Genix himself, Gene Estabrook from ECBT, East County Bait and Tackle. This guy has a wealth of knowledge of fresh and saltwater information. Gene's a great guy. He's going to be talking fishing here next Sunday on Let's Talk Hookup. Thanks for listening today. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090.
Come on, pretty mama.